Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in program number 336. If you'd like a copy of it, well, you can have one free of charge, postage and handling taken care of. Either an audio tape, please specify, or a CD. Sharon will tell you four different ways at the end of the program how to receive. One, we have a strong message on salvation today. We've got testimonies, if we have time for it. We've got some music and Bible reading as well. And right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this service. Father, we know that the experience of salvation is in several different stages. One is we must be washed in the blood of Jesus to take away all of our former sins. Repent of our sins means that we never sin again unless it's something that we've done without knowledge, through ignorance. And then number two, we have to put our old, there's a cleansing of our old life. One is to have all of our sins washed away. Number two, we have to put away our old life. That means that we have to die out completely of this world. Now, I remember, Father, when the Holy Spirit, when you convicted me and showed me that you really existed, that was such a revelation to me that it frightened me, I thought, almost to death. But it was actually unto life. And the first thing I wanted to do was to get completely out of show business. So this was the beginning of the cleansing away of my old life. So we have to put our old life to death. I was in the record industry, promotion industry, the music industry, all different types of industries that I was doing. There was even people trying to get me into politics. And the first thing I wanted to do is to put an end to my old life. And I wanted to find out how to get rid of the old sins that I had committed before. So later on, I found out through the visions that you gave me of hell and also the heaven that I knew. I just said, forgive me. I didn't realize at that time that it was the blood of Jesus that had to be applied to my soul. The blood, Father, that you, in Jesus, died for me on the cross of Calvary. But it became so evident to the people of the world when I was saved, Lord, because I had, I was a known figure so far as being, achieving things in the world. I achieved a lot of different things, and so my salvation became more evident than just a person that had not achieved many things in their life. And this is one of the reasons, Father, that the devil has been attacking me so much, is because my testimony is a powerful one. The thing that you did in my life, I'm not a powerful thing. I was probably one of the weakest people in the world, but the testimony of my changing, being regenerated, or even coming out of the world and leaving the promotions and the Beatles album that I had. I didn't want to sell this kind of thing anymore. And so therefore it was evident that I was saved. And so I want to do what you want me to do, and that is to tell people the different things that they must do in order to experience your life in them. Because our life is not sufficient enough to have eternal life. Our life is a temporal life, and we need to have the eternal life as an ingredient, the major ingredient, the only ingredient that is included into our life so that we can have eternal life with you. And so, Lord, I ask that you anoint this program. Every word that is said, let it be directly from you, that the souls in the world can understand these things, that even Christians that are nominally saved, they're not completely allowing you to express your life in and through them. and that the Christian realm will be expanded to the degree that people will be able to allow the life that has now entered into them to become a strong experience, a strong evidence that you are alive in them. Lord, that the souls of the world could be saved and that the church be strengthened. I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now we've got the Brothers Keepers to sing for you this arrangement that H.B. Barnum did with them. It's called The Touch of the Lord's Hand, The Touch of His Hand.
To be alone with Jesus.
When those burdens, they seem so heavy to bear. And oh, what strength I find in my trials. When I need someone to walk with me, when I need someone to lean on, when I need someone to lead me through the darkness, thank the Lord, I can reach out, and I can feel the precious His hand. Oh, I can feel the precious His hand. His grace. Oh, I can feel the precious His hand.
Hallelujah.
All right, praise the Lord. You know, when you're born again, truth of salvation, the regeneration is that you can definitely feel the Spirit of the Lord, and you know that you've been regenerated because all of your ideas should be put to an end, but they don't happen all at once, and so therefore it's very important for people to know the different stages of salvation, or regeneration. And people need to know, you know, that the blood of Jesus is not the complete act of regeneration. It is the first step. You have to go to the Lord and ask for repentance of your sins, and He washes them away. But then you must experience the Holy Spirit. And you must, an immediate desire gets into you to want to put away, to cleanse your old life away, to put it away, to put it to death. And we're going to go through all those stages. Right now we have a testimony. Where is it from?
From Nicaragua.
We have thousands of testimonies. We could go on for years with the testimonies of the people that were saved in this church and through the literature and the radio programs and the television programs that we've had before. We still are on the air all over the world, and a lot of different websites are putting us on their website. What was the last one here?
Arctic Beacon.
The Arctic Beacon. I did a two-hour interview with them about a week ago, and I'm going to be doing another one this coming Wednesday. Now, today's date is the 2nd of March, and this is like Friday. So next Wednesday, I'll be doing another two-hour radio interview with them, and it'll be on the internet, on the website. And this man has posted some of my literature on his website. And I told him, as a matter of fact, I think he's hooked us up with his website and ours together, because the man really knows the truth. And when you know the truth will set you free. So, all right, let's hear this testimony.
May God bless beloved Pastor Tony Alamo and his great ministry. I thank God that I was able to find the website to this beautiful ministry. I also want to thank you sincerely for the materials you have sent to me. Your literature has been a very big blessing in my life, the life of my family, and will be a blessing in the lives to as many as will convert to Christ because of your literature. Your messages are fundamentally sound and solid in doctrine, and because of it, I know that God is using you as a mouthpiece to spread His word so that others may receive it.
Right, I was just telling my, you know, there's people that have been in this church for over 37 years, and a lot of them have been here 30 years, 20 years, and that should say something. The Catholic, communist, antichrist church and government and media would have you believe that the people that go to this church are crazy, because they're carnal. The Vatican is a carnal organization. They're actually a political organization, and they would have you to believe that the people in this church are crazy. But they're not crazy. They're born-again Christians, and we know that the people that are not born again of the Spirit are carnal, and they cannot understand spiritual things until they've had a spiritual awakening to the things of the Spirit. So they cannot understand these things. I know that I couldn't before I was saved, and that's why I have a lot of patience for people that are not yet saved. Not patience in that they allow or to they will say, oh, let them say that it's all right to be a homosexual, to commit adultery or fornication. I just did a tape on the sin of adultery yesterday, because you see many people that were once Christians, if they're doing it in ignorance, I don't know, but that's a cardinal sin. That's one of the big Ten Commandments, because what it does is puts down the union between us and the Lord, because we're married to Him. And so the Apostle Paul stated that being married is around the same, it's very much like being married to the Lord, because you are one flesh and you become one spirit with the Lord when you accept Him as your personal Savior. You actually become, we become married to the Lord, and He is married to us. And so anybody that would that has been in this church this long knows that we're not the things that the media, the Antichrist media, the government, and the Antichrist cult church in Rome says we are. The Bible says that all these three entities are powered by the spirit of that great red dragon, the devil. And so if you're listening, you mustn't listen to this big major triune antichrist, because if you do, it's the same thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What you really need to do is read your Bible, and your Bible will tell you that the things that they are and the things that they're doing are of Satan. And until you do that, you don't know what to believe. Because what they're doing is, I'm telling the truth about them, but they're telling lies about not only myself, but every true Christian person on this earth. Just people that go to my church, you know, a lot of people, they're being persecuted as well, like Buster. The federal government just walked in there. He has a big, large furniture store. And they went in there and took his goods. They stole. They'd like you to think that they confiscated $190-some thousand out of his safe that he pays his employees with, pays his bills with, like the utilities and everything else, and pays for shipments of furniture that comes into his store. And so they went in there and took a lot of his merchandise and took the $190-some thousand out of his safe. That's supposed to be federal government, but it's not the federal government. It is people posing as United States federal government agents, but they're actually goons from the Vatican. They're actually worse than the mafia, because they have a license, a badge that says they can come in and steal what you have. I don't call it confiscation. It's just downright thievery.
Amen.
It's what they did, is they just stole the things that Buster had. And the reason he was tithing to the church, and so the devil didn't like it. And the man has receipts for everything that he's purchased. And they just don't like Christians. Now, the biggest thieves in the world are is the Vatican, the government, and the media. Well, how do they steal? They steal, actually, people's souls. That's the main thing that they steal. But they're not really supposed to tax people, because these taxes were caused by the wars that the Vatican created. Even the one that we're fighting over there now is created by the Vatican. And so it isn't anything that the American public started. It isn't anything that we had anything to do with. And they're stealing the money, the taxes, and spending it on things. They go and blow countries up, and then they use our tax money to go over there and rebuild the place. And we didn't want to bomb them in the first place because, you know, let's win the world to the Lord by preaching the gospel. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Amen? But anyway, so if people are in my church for 37 years, that should show people something. And there's many of them, and there's people, millions of people that have been saved by the preaching of the gospel. And I'm not preaching Tony Alamo or the gospel according to Tony Alamo. I'm preaching the gospel according to the Bible, the Word of God. And that's what the Bible says that we must use in order to win souls. And so here's the person. There's many churches. Like this man was saved before, but he is growing in the power of God through the literature that the Lord has given me. And the same thing will happen to you. Now, if you're government agents, I'm not saying that right now you're condemned, but you can stop being condemned by accepting the gospel. Just like many people were about ready to fall away that were saved before. Many have fallen away, but many are starting to fall away, and they get the literature and they are renewed. And we must be renewed daily, and that's why it's important to get fresh bread from heaven every day of your life, because we have to live this life or allow the Lord's life to live in us on a daily basis. And we need the bread of life, which is Christ, the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, in order to have fresh baked bread from heaven on a daily basis, to be satisfied in the Lord and to be full of peace and satisfaction. Amen?
Amen.
That is so good, to be satisfied. You know, you go to some cheap restaurants that don't know how to cook, and you're not satisfied. You go away with a bad taste in your mouth. But if you go to a place that really, you know, the chefs are professional and everything, and they give you something that you like, and it really is pleasing to you, you almost want to move into the same town where the restaurant is. Amen?
Amen.
Well, this fresh bread from the Lord is the most important thing for us to sustain eternal life, because it's for sure the doctrine of once saved, always saved is a false doctrine. We're saved on a day, if we walk with the Lord on a day-to-day basis. Other than that, and if you say, well, I resent that, well, you're resenting the way of life. The reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life, and to receive the Spirit of God on a daily basis is the way of life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's finish this man's testimony.
Blessings to you. I was a colonel in the Nicaraguan army, a man of experience in combat. Pastor Lamo, I am at your disposal, considering myself now a part of your ministry here in Nicaragua.
I don't want anybody to believe that I would, oh, hey, here's a guy that's used to combat and everything. Let's get him over here and use guns, bullets, and bombs. We don't do that. This man doesn't do that anymore either. He uses the Word of God, because the Word of God is the most powerful weapon that we can use against Satan. That's the thing that Satan hates more than anything. He loves it when people use guns, bullets, bombs, tanks, airplanes, all these different things. But he hates the Word of God. But the Word of God, Jesus is the Word of God, is the one that destroyed Satan and all of his works. And he destroyed the flesh of anyone that will accept the Lord. In other words, the desires of the flesh. So we have to walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lusts of our flesh. And this is so easy to do, and it really works. You should try it, you people that are involved with the world, government, church, cult, and media, because you could be saved too. And what good would it be for a person to go through this life and then die and go to hell? Because there's nothing in this world that is appealing, especially after you have the experience of immortality in you, all those the desires for anything in this world go away. You still, you know, want to eat and you sleep and you drink and all these things, but still your mood is different, your experience is different. Everything in you changes. You become a new creature. The things that you love to do in the world just become dull and tasteless. There's a new taste that comes into your mouth and into your spirit and into your mind regarding eternity. And the things of the old life just becomes tasteless and of no value. And these are things that some people don't even know that they experience after salvation, after regeneration. But this is the thing that really happened to me. I was profoundly in the record business and all these different businesses, and before I immediately put down my Beatles album and everything, the Lord didn't want me to sell them. It became repugnant to me, the things of this world, because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. Okay, it isn't, it's a real spirit. God's spirit is the one that has immortality in it. Your spirit, my spirit, has nothing in it at all until we receive God's spirit in it. And then when that happens, everything becomes alive and beautiful, and we're resurrected, and there's a purpose in life. There's a putting down of money and these things. Then if you get money, it took us years to be able to receive some money enough to get the gospel out all over the world. Well, there's much, we could put it out a million times more if we had millions more of dollars. But, you know, the devil fights everything. Like if I was in 10,000 stores with my jackets, and they stopped that. They started putting out lies that I was running a slave labor camp. Actually, the government is the one that runs slave labor camps. They arrest people on false charges, put them in prison, and pay them 5 cents a day to make all kinds of different products. And they go into competition with the general public. And the general public is not able to compete with a slave labor camp like the government has, the world cult in Rome, and the media just blows them up to all proportions. But anyway, let's finish this man's testimony here.
I consider myself now a part of your ministry here in Nicaragua to help take God's message to those who are part of the Nicaraguan army, the national police, and to all who are hungry for the word of the Lord.
Now, we're not going to use these police in an adverse way, or this army, okay, when they get saved, so... you people in the government, don't worry about that. I know you're just looking for some excuse to come in and murder a bunch more Christians like you did at Waco. But we're not that way. And the world, most of the people in the world know that we're not that way. Then what else?
I hope to continue receiving your literature as well as your recorded messages, which, with your permission, I'd like to broadcast on radio on Tuesdays, 7 p.m.
You have my permission, that's for sure. And what else?
Your literature has been a great blessing to me and many military friends here in Nicaragua after reading it. All the literature regarding the Pope, of which I ran out of immediately, has made a great impact, and the Messiah book alike.
Okay, well, I want our mailroom to just load this man up with more literature and Bibles and Messiah books, or whatever he needs. All right, then what else?
Thank God, beloved pastor, the material and Bibles you sent to me have been a blessing. I gave them away the same day I received the package. I hope I always have your support in material.
You will have my support all the time. Until the end of my life. Until the Lord comes back, which I believe is going to happen any time now. Then what?
Whatever you are able to send me. I want to tell you something very special. Yours and Susan's testimony were a great blessing for my wife. While she was reading it, I could see the Lord ministering to her, and tears were coming from her eyes to see the suffering that true children of God go through. I would like for you to send me more testimonies of yours and Susan's conversion, for only 3 were in the package and I ran out of them. We in our church are happy with this contact.
I just can't imagine that our mailroom would only send them 3 copies. said this band minimum several hundred copies of my testimony and Susie's testimony, and then give them 50 of every other track, piece of literature, plus 50 Messiah books. I don't know what language. It's probably Spanish over there. Okay, and then what else?
We also hope to be a blessing for the Tony Lamo ministry. God continue blessing you, beloved Pastor Tony. I hope to have you one day here in Nicaragua with us, and may you continue illuminating with the light of the Holy Spirit of God in this dark world, deception and heresies. Your brother in Christ, Silvio. And then he sent his testimony.
So he has a testimony here regarding God's lie for salvation, which is absolutely filled to the brim, and it is absolutely complete for us to be able to live out God's life, for God to be able to live out his life in and through it. Go ahead, let's read his testimony.
I am not ashamed of the gospel. I was saved 7 years ago. When I first told my co-workers and friends that I had been saved, they mocked me. Salvation to them was something only conceivable for the aged woman, the ignorant, frustrated, or depressed.
No, not being saved is for the ignorant and a bunch of people that just have not been enlightened. And therefore, we pray that the Lord's Spirit will enlighten you today. And that goes for homosexuals, people in Satan's cult, government, and media. You can be saved. All you have to do is receive the Lord's, and the Lord is the Word of God. And we're talking about the King James Version. Or if you're a person that reads Hebrew, if you get the true Old Testament Hebrew writings and the Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek written and spoken by the Jews. So the first four Gospels are written in Hebrew and Aramaic. They're not written in Greek. Jesus spoke Hebrew and Aramaic. Hebrew is just one of the dialects of Aramaic. Okay, let's go.
But I was a colonel in the Nicaraguan army. None could understand my conversion. But by the grace of God, I am not ashamed of the only thing that has ever given my life meaning, purpose, and peace within. God not only had mercy by saving me, but on my society, which I troubled. After so much war and years in the combat field, I asked myself, what profit came of this Nicaraguan war to the survivors in Nicaragua? How many have died? How many have been left mutilated? How many have been left widows and orphans? Injustice surrounded me. My innermost being became plagued with anxiety because the wicked seemed to prosper more than the righteous. I decided to take my life because there was no sense in living. I then tried to shoot myself, but the gun would not fire when aimed at myself, yet it would fire when aimed at the sky. I did not understand why until Jesus saved my soul. I awaked to the truth of the existence of God after listening to how Jesus converted my wife and studying the scriptures myself. I know now that I have been called and chosen by God to serve him. I have received of God a new nature. I know that I have a responsibility before the omnipotent God who knows even my deepest thoughts.
So this man is truly saved, really saved. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then what?
The change in me was so great that I could not describe it until I read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which states that we are new creatures in Christ, that old things are passed away, and that all things become new. I now have many promises to stand on and blessings in my life, knowing and believing that to believe in Christ is to keep his commandments. Pastor Silvio from Managua, Nicaragua.
Well, God bless you, and I know he does. May the Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you in God. Praise the Lord. And let's make sure that this man gets everything he needs and expedited quickly.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so salvation includes a forgiveness of our sins. And this man, it's just a wonderful thing to know that we're forgiven of our sins. Amen?
Amen.
But and then there comes inside of your spirit a desire. I mean, because you really love God. I mean, to say you love God is just fake. But when the only way that you can really say that is when you know the Lord. I was one of the most bitter people in the world, but then, and I didn't believe in God, that there was a God or a Jesus, until he, actually, he was, showed it in a humorous way to me by playing with me like I was a little toy. He came down upon me in an office, a business office, and I laugh about it now, but it wasn't funny then because it was very embarrassing, the things that he was telling me to say. He was telling me to tell the people in the room about the Lord Jesus Christ, which I didn't know anything about the Lord, and to tell them that he was coming back to earth again real soon, or I was going to die. And the Spirit came down and opened up my mind, my understanding, and made me know that there was a heaven and a hell. And the power of God was so strong in that room, to me, that it's just, I knew that he knew everything in the universe, every molecule, every atom, everything, every little molecule and atom that everything was made of, because everything was made up of things that you can't see. Everything that you can see is made of things that you can't see. And so it was no wonder to me when I read the scriptures, and I'm going to go over here and read some of them to you. I got to turn on, I've got to read from my machine here that I have that blows up the Word of God about 100 times. This is chapter 26 of Matthew. And it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man," he called himself because he was a human, but he had the power of God in him, he had the whole Godhead in him, "is betrayed to be crucified." Then we drop down to verse 6. "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, very precious ointment." Now, reading this, this just doesn't mean, the language today, Scooby-Doo to anybody. "And she poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying to, what purpose is this waste?" Oh, my God. When the Lord showed me that he was up there, how could anybody possibly think that anything that you could give to the Lord or do for him would be a waste? This is God. I can understand it would be a waste if you poured it over Simon Peter's head, over my head, or over, Johnny, anybody out in the world, Johnny Lunchpail out there, or Otto Overtime, or, anybody like that, but... or just anybody in the world. But this is God come in the flesh. And this woman realized that this is God Almighty sitting here in this flesh. And she knew that he had to come in the flesh because he said so. "For this ointment might have been sold for a lot of money and given to the poor." Well... what is better than honoring the Lord God Almighty? I mean, he's the one that created us out of the dirt of the ground, and he's the one that is going to raise us from, he's the one that came into the world to die for us. When Jesus understood what they were saying there, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me." Well, who are you, is what the dead Gentile dog say. This is precious ointment, and who are you? Well, she knew, just like the people in my church know, that the things that they're saying about me are false. And she knew who he was, and I know who he is, and the people in my church know who he is. So you can't just say, well, who are you? You're God Almighty. I mean, who in the world would not want to just pour everything that you have on him and give everything that you have to please him?
Amen.
I mean, we are to give our very life, let alone a little box of ointment that is precious in the eyes of man. For you have the poor. The Lord says, you have the poor with you always. They're poor. But me, ye have not always, you know, because I'm going to die for you people, you ungrateful people, you people that are so far that you don't know who, away from me, that you don't know who I am. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she, and I'm going to turn the page now, because I'm reading right directly from the Word of God. She did it for my burial. This woman knows who I am. She knows I'm going to die and be buried. And I'd want to rise again. She knows I'm God. You can't kill God. You can kill the body, the temple that he's in, just like God is living in my body. And if you're born again of the Spirit, he's living in your body also. And they can kill the body, but they cannot send kill our soul, and they cannot send our soul to hell. Only God can send a person's soul to hell. And Jesus says, verily, this is verse 13, I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall, this truth, in other words, shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. We had some of these people that were even questioning why she should take this little bit of ointment, this box of ointment, and pour it on his head. One of them was Judas Iscariot, and immediately ran over to the chief priest and says, you know, they're wasting ointment on him. People that are of the Lord, even God himself, doesn't deserve anything. Only us devil-possessed people on earth, us Gentiles, us dogs, deserve things. The Lord gave me these things because I know I was void of any of this. I thought also that when I was a dog, even though I was Jewish, I was still an unbeliever in Jesus, the Messiah, the God come in the flesh, the Word of God. And if people don't believe that, I feel sorry for you, because, you know, I'm getting the same credit for witnessing to you, telling you the things of the Lord, whether you believe it or not. And so you're the loser. And it's just sad that people don't understand these things. I pray, Father God, that you will open people's minds, their hearts and souls, and cause them to not believe the things that they've been taught in the past, because the things that they've been taught in the past are lies. And Lord, let them believe in you. But I remember that, how I just burned in me when I knew that God existed, to find out what he wanted me to do. Because I wanted, if it was just getting a box of ointment, my God, I would have got a ton of it, thousands of tons of it to pour on him. And he didn't allow me to know what I'm supposed to do, because, and so I thought, maybe I'll find out if I go to churches. So I went to the Catholic cult over on Sunset Boulevard here in Hollywood. And I went to the back door. It was around 2 or 3 in the morning, and the nun came to the door, and I said, can I speak to the priest, please? I called her, and I says, I want to talk to the high honcho over here, the big cheese, the guy that's in charge. He says, you can't see him. I says, get him, sister. And so she looked like a vampire. She pulled that cape that was around her over her head and ran in and got a man named a father, they called him Father Babish. And so I told him what happened to me, and he didn't know what to tell me to do because he himself wasn't saved. Later, I went back after I got some of the message of the Lord in me, and I led him to the Lord, and I've heard reports that he's out preaching the gospel now. But he said, just have it in your heart to be baptized. I says, look, just baptize me if that's what I'm supposed to do. But what am I supposed to do for God? Is it an alabaster box of some kind of ointment? Can I kiss his feet? What can I do? I know that he isn't the Pope. I know that he isn't any man. I know that he's God. He played with my soul like it was a yo-yo. But I got to find out. So I went to all the different churches in Los Angeles, and not one of them was preaching the truth. Not one of them. They were all saying, well, you know, the Lord just wants you to just, enjoy everyday life and all this kind of guy. I knew that wasn't what the Lord wanted. He wanted me to go tell people about the Lord. But how do I get this presence of the Lord, this mood of the Lord in me that I felt in that office, because I felt His power there, but I didn't have Him all the time. I could feel Him from time to time. But then the Lord showed me visions, and I received the Lord Jesus Christ into me, and I just wanted to do everything for Him. And anybody that doesn't want to do everything for Him, even His disciples that were not born again of the Spirit yet, they didn't want it. They thought it was a waste to put ointment on God's head. That's how hard the people are in this world, even back then. And how much more now? So I had such an indignation when I read those scriptures about those people. And then I can see that she knew the Lord. She knew who He was. And she didn't think it was a waste at all. She herself may have been a very poverty-stricken type person, and somehow she may have taken all of her wages to buy that ointment, because God is God, and you and I are nothings without Him.
Amen?
Amen. He deserves everything. He deserves the very essence of everything that is in us. And he deserves to be served with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and that's why we need to know the different stages of salvation. One, the blood of Jesus has to wash your dirty, filthy, rotten sins away and drown in the sea of God's forgiveness. And then the Spirit comes into you, and you know that you have to clean up your former life, your way of life. You have to put it to death, the kind of things that you did before. But starting at one stage is this the stage of forgiveness of sins, the cleansing or sanctification. The cleansing sanctification situation is where I was in the record industry, and everybody's cursing, and everybody's just, I didn't snort narcotics or anything. Or anything like that, but I saw them all doing it, and they were just all, everything was just morbidly evil and sinful. And so you have to put your old life away. But you don't want to do that because you love that way of life. But when the Spirit of God comes into you, then you become like this woman that just wants to do everything for the Lord, to give everything she had. That's all she had to show Him her love, and she was weeping. Another one, she was so washing His feet with her tears. Don't tell me that woman didn't know who she was washing the feet of.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. And drying His feet with her hair. This is true worship of the Lord. And it isn't anything that you can fake, because people don't serve the Lord as it is. I mean, even people in the churches all around, they were not serving the Lord at all. Nobody was back then. This is going back 42 years ago, almost 42 and a half years ago. So the Lord justifies us when we put an end, put the death to our old life. And freedom, we receive freedom then from the bondage of sin, Satan, and the world, and death. But how do we know that we have freedom from that unless we've given up our old manner of life? Amen?
Amen.
If you're still lusting, if you're still murmuring and complaining about having to do something for the Lord, you know, when the Lord requires that we give him everything that we have 24/7. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, you don't feel like that? Well, then there's something lacking in your salvation, and therefore that's why you're not feeling the power of God in you as much as the Lord could cause you to feel his presence within you. So you're still not, you still haven't cleansed yourself from your old life. The blood of Jesus cleansed your former sins, but now at stage two is you have to cleanse your own way of life, your own way of thinking. You have to forsake it and utterly forsake it. So he's forgiven us of all these things, and he's delivered us. He's given us his power over sin, Satan, the world, death, hell, and the grave. So regeneration is God's life living in us and through us. And all of the other things that I've mentioned are parts of God's life or his salvation. Now, of all the parts that I've mentioned, only regeneration is the major part of God's life living in you. You must be converted. You must be turned inside out. You must be a person that loves God so much that you give every bit of ointment that there is in this world unto him if you had it to give. Every essence of your old life you put away and you let him know that you love him like this woman did. So there's a memorial for somebody like this. Amen?
Amen.
It's in the Bible. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The forgiveness of our sins is the first step, but it is not a matter of life. That doesn't mean that you're alive yet. It is just one segment that must be done before life enters your mortal body. Neither is the cleansing of sins in our souls or our being sanctified and our being justified matters of complete matters of God's life. It's definitely matters of it, his eternal life. Even our being set free from the bondage is not able to absolutely be a matter of life. You know, there's a lot of people who have the Spirit of God living in them that they haven't changed their life at all. You've seen that. Mm-hmm. They still play basketball, football, baseball, and hockey and all these other sports. They buck, oh, Jesus, I just knocked somebody out for Jesus. I just thank Jesus for me beating the tar out of somebody. Isn't that something? God, there's nothing like that in the Bible. You have to forsake that, Mr. Tyson and all you other men out there. I mean, you say you want to be a Christian, and the Lord does not honor you because you become a Muslim. That's repugnant to him because you're setting somebody else up as your God rather than him. You need to be saved. And you can do that right now by saying this prayer. My time is up, and so it's time for us to be saved now. So let's ask the Lord to enter into us, all right? Let's go through the first stage of salvation. Let's get a complete cleansing of your sins right now in Jesus' name. Say this prayer to the Lord. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And if you do, you're going to pour out the ointment on him. Amen?
Amen.
I believe that God, that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that the Spirit of God that was in him, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, raised him from the dead. And I believe that that same Spirit's living in me, that that same Spirit will raise me from the dead on the last day. And I believe, so Lord, I open the door of my heart and I invite you to come into my heart, wash all my filthy sins away in your precious blood. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away And that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me and answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord and get baptized, fully submerged in water in a real spirit-filled church. And if you it wouldn't be anything for you to move down here. I mean, people move from far and wide to go to worship the Lord. And you should do that too. If you can't find a good church, come on down, okay? We have a place for you. Okay, so Sharon, tell them four different ways to receive a copy of program number 336. And make sure you get baptized with the Holy Spirit as well.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Tune in tomorrow for another powerful message of the Lord and all that He is and to you and all that He can do in and through you. Right now, this is H.B. Barnum's Life Choir singing his Life Prayer Song.